You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In what's been called lyrical, sonorous, and brilliant fiction writing, Affinity Konar's new novel, Mischling, tells the story of 12-year-old twins, Stasha and Pearl, who in alternating chapters recount their memories of the experiments that they endured in Auschwitz under Dr. Joseph Mengele and their struggles soon after the camp was liberated. It's published by Little Brown. I'm very pleased that it's brought Affinity Konar to our show today. Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Of the 1,500 pairs of twins and people with genetic abnormalities at Mengele's, what was called Mengele's Zoo, fewer than 200 survived. Do we know how many of them were children, like Pearl and Stasha?
There were very few survivors amongst the children.
Did you base these characters on any real people?
The characters of Pearl and Stasha ended up being inspired. They sort of function as composites of many people, but my intention was always to have them stand more as tributes to the true survivors rather than to cobble together personalities and experiences. Their arc is very distinct in this story from the true experiences.
In her rave review of your article in the Sunday New York Times Book Review, Ruth Franklin wrote, "There is a reason Mengele's experiments are rarely discussed. Even in the context of the Holocaust, they were almost unspeakably horrible." So what led you to write a novel about such a horrific aspect of the Holocaust? It must have felt terrible to have to describe some of these things.
I often ask myself that question now, even after the book has been published. I felt a compulsion to write about these things. My family fled Poland in 1933. So they were very fortunate. They didn't have to experience any of the persecution that, there's this sort of guilt of escape that occurs, and that compelled me throughout my life. And I found the story of the twins of Auschwitz when I was very young. I was about 16.
You also had to get into the mind of Joseph Mengele.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because so much of the research that I did for the book never made it in, because a lot of that was plunging into Mengele's personality, his background, his possible, I hate to call them motivations, because I don't think we can understand what motivated him at all. I think his evil was the type that's just completely bottomless. But all of that research on Mengele did not make it in the book because he was eventually sort of pushed off stage. I wanted the book to speak to the experience of the twins rather than what he had done to them.
Although, isn't it a bit shocking that Mengele was able to escape justice after the war? Didn't he drown in 1979 while he was swimming off the Brazilian coast?
That's the story that we're given. I think just thinking of that death itself drove much of the book, because it was so maddening to think of how he'd evaded any kind of apprehension. That troubled me deeply from the very beginning when I started following this story. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. It's like something that just sort of a fact that breaks you.
Why was the part of Auschwitz that Stasha and Pearl were sent to called the zoo?
It was a collection of all sorts of people that Mengele was interested in, all sorts of people with what he saw as genetic abnormalities. I also think that it sort of spoke to the kind of organized chaos of that place.
And what kinds of experiments did Mengele conduct on the children of the zoo, people like Pearl and Stasha?
Well, his experiments were of a kind of savagery that often didn't seem to have any true aim. But, supposedly he was trying to change eye color to...
So that people could be blonde, blue-eyed?
Right, exactly. He wanted to approach genetic experimentation with the aim of creating a sort of perfect race. And then there were also experiments that were just unspeakably cruel, that were almost emotional or psychological in nature, where he would separate twins who were extremely bonded from one another.
As these two twins
yes.
are.
Yes.
He also amputated arms and legs of some people. He did all sorts of things, I guess, all out of his own intellectual curiosity.
I mean, that's his experiments were so gruesome and sadistic, and there are some that were very easily easy to exclude from the book just because even survivors themselves can't speak of them. They just seem purposeless and entirely about his own curiosity.
Stasha and Pearl's upbringing plays a large role in how they're able to cope with the horrors and terrors of the zoo. What was their family like?
Their family is one that I like to think is obsessed with beauty and with art and with, you know, a science that doesn't answer to the Third Reich. And I think that that provided them with sort of a unique shelter.
What does Mischling, the title of your book, mean? Why did you decide to use it as the title?
Mischling, it's a term that was used by the Third Reich to classify Jews of a mixed heritage. And it was very difficult to put that title on it. And at the same time, I never had another in mind because to me...
But these aren't girls of a mixed heritage.
No, they are not. But they are mistaken for a mixed heritage. And to be of mixed heritage was of a kind of advantage with someone like Mengele. So throughout the book, Stasha kind of uses this term as a disguise, a way to survive him. And she continues to question that throughout the book and to almost try to pummel that word.
My guest is Affinity Konar. Her novel, Mischling, is published by Lee Boudreau Books imprint of Little Brown. This is quite a topic to be taken on by somebody who, as I gather, quit school in the sixth grade?
Mm-hmm.
You were 16?
I was 16.
No, when you were 16, what grade is that?
Yeah, I was, I guess I was after my sophomore year of high school, actually. I left school.
Why?
I was overwhelmed. I loved books. I loved educating myself in a certain way. I did end up going ahead and getting a diploma from an alternative school at one point, but I was very lost, and I happened to have very free-thinking and supportive parents who were just sort of like, you're going to save yourself through books. This is what you do.
So you started writing?
Oh.
Your first published work was the illustrated version of Things,
mm-hmm.
also about the Holocaust?
Well, there are two characters in it that have ties to the Holocaust, yes, but it isn't about the Holocaust itself. Just two figures.
What was your research process like? Did you turn to psychology and trauma specialists for information?
I did very little reading on psychology. I did a lot of reading about the twins themselves. I read a lot of memoirs. I read a lot of my research was spurred by the first book that I read called Children of the Flames. And it was interesting because this book was in many ways something that I kept pushing away. I didn't want to write it. And whenever I would come across new material, I would feel that impulse to write it again. So it was almost like the research pushed me rather than me going out and finding it in an odd way.
And you didn't travel to Poland until after you completed the book.
Yes, and that was very strange. It was a very fearful experience, not only to visit that place, but to do it after the fact that I'd written the book. And I'd wanted to go many times during my research.
Why did you make Pearl and Stasha 12? Why that age in particular? Does it have anything to do with the fact that in Jewish law, 12 is the age when children become adults, girls?
Yes, that was a big part of it. I had also just played with different ages throughout the years.
And boys. Weren't they originally boys?
Yes. And the whole text opened up when I changed it to girls. It was it became a very different experience to write them as girls. It was not a struggle any longer.
And although they are very closely bonded, when you write them in, you give them their voice in alternating chapters, mm-hmm. we recognize the differences between them. So that was part of it as well, finding the cadences of their voices?
Yeah, I was really fearful about writing Pearl's voice. Stasha's came very naturally to me. Pearl's, I was concerned, would read as very pale and sort of unembellished, because I wanted her voice to be the one that reported more succinctly on history.
The first half of the book takes place in the zoo in Auschwitz. Second half is after the liberation of the concentration camps. Now, since you use the past tenses, you write from the individual perspectives of Stasha and Pearl, you're revealing to the reader from the start that both of them survived World War II.
Mm-hmm.
What made you decide to do that?
I thought it was an interesting way to just sort of combine all of their experiences. Like, it's a way of just saying that this never really leaves you. They're almost people suspended in time in a strange way.
I think the thing that surprised reviewers most is just how assured your writing is. Is that something that came easily?
No, I feel like I edit far more than I write. I mean, this book, I'm a very slow writer. I love every line. Every line might not be what I want it to be in the end, but there's a great satisfaction in moving forward sentence by sentence for me.
So does that mean I'm going to have to wait a few more years before I see you with the second book?
I'm afraid so.
Are you working on something?
Yes, I am.
This book is called Mischling. My great thanks to Affinity Konar for joining us to talk about it. It's published by Little Brown in the Lee Boudreau Books imprint.